Our blessed God, thou art the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And we acknowledge thy sovereignty over us, thy propriety in us, and the zeal that thou hast for thine own worship. And we rejoice that thou hast been pleased to send thy Spirit into the world, that he might shed abroad thy love in our hearts and bring us to Jesus. And we thank thee for the redemption which our Savior has purchased, which is entirely adequate to meet all the demands of thy justice, to cover all of our sins, and to present us faultless before the presence of thy glory with exceeding joy. We ask thee now, our Father, that the consciousness that thou art God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, may be very heavy and permeate our hearts, that our persuasion may not be of men, but of thy Spirit. We may learn to put our trust in thee and to live for Jesus, in the full joy of thy salvation, through the indwelling of thy Spirit. We ask thee to bless us in our own personal lives, gracious God. There's so much that needs to be cleansed. And we ask thee now that the blood of Jesus, that precious blood, may wash every stain away. And we pray that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may lay aside all malice and guile and evil speaking, all envy and jealousy, all desire to lord it over our fellow Christians, realizing that only by thy grace do we have anything at all, we may live in such a fashion that everyone may know that our lives are lives of gratitude to the living God. We pray, our Father, for our homes. We thank thee for our loved ones. We thank thee for thy promises in the covenant of grace. We thank thee that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And now we ask thee, gracious God, to bless all of our loved ones. We ask thee to bless this congregation. And we ask, gracious God, that the power which Jesus used when he was here may be effective in their minds and bodies. But above all things, we pray thee that they may be conscious of thy love. They may want thee to have thy way with them. And we ask thee that thy Spirit may speak to our hearts to convince us that they are entirely safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. And make heaven very precious, we pray thee, to them and to us, that the triumph of our Savior may be very clear in their minds and hearts, and in ours, that we may face life and all of its eventualities unafraid and unashamed, without flinching, without quivering, because we know that Christ has conquered death and hell and Satan and all of our enemies. We ask thee to bless those who are away from home, particularly those who are in jeopardy because they're in the service of their country. O God, make wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. and drive back, we pray thee, the devices and designs and efforts of wicked men, and bring to naught the ideas, the bad ideas of even good men. And we pray for those, our Father, whom we love so dearly, who give us no evidence that their hearts have ever been changed, who give us no idea that they belong to Jesus Christ. There are some of our loved ones who've made a profession of faith and united with this church, but they pay us no attention. We have nothing by which to conclude that they are genuinely born again. And we wouldn't judge of our own, our Father, but we can read thy word, and we read of the things that are written against those who, in the pride of their hearts, refuse to acknowledge Jesus. And to that end, we ask thee, gracious God, to make us vocal Christians, that we may lift up our voices in praise to the living God, that we may describe to those whom we love the wonders of thy saving grace. To that end, we ask thee to bless every service in this church, every organization. We ask thee to bless everyone who is trying to speak a good word for Jesus. And let the gospel's sweet sound go to the ends of the earth. Now, our Father, we pray for a very serious problem in our congregation, and we ask thee, first of all, that our hearts may be inclined to do thy will, regardless of what direction it may take us, that we may want Jesus to be honored. Grant, we pray thee, that wisdom may be given, that when we come to a conclusion, it may be with cheerfulness, believing that it is of the Lord. Hear our prayer, deal with us, not as we deserve, but according to the treasures of grace purchased for us by the Lord Jesus. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Will you hear the word of God as it is read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, sixth chapter of Matthew. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And may the Lord our God bless his own word to each one of us. Execute thine office of a prophet, we pray thee, Lord Jesus, in revealing to us by thy word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Amen. The first verse of the sixth chapter of Matthew, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Our Savior in the Sermon on the Mount is speaking of the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. What kind of people belong to the kingdom of heaven? The scribes and the Pharisees said it was relatively easy to belong to the kingdom of heaven because all you did was a certain type of regulation. You fulfilled a certain group of things laid down by the great teachers, the rabbis, and if you did those things, then you were righteous. For instance, a Sabbath day's journey was actually a certain distance, a mile and an eighth. There were certain things you could cook on Sunday, and there were certain things you couldn't cook. And in the sixth chapter, our Savior gives us our attitude toward our fellow men, which is concluded in the great statement, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, but hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, in the sixth chapter, our Savior is going to point out to us what is involved in our relation to God. He takes, first of all, in the first half of the chapter, three elements of worship. And if we can divide the chapter, I would say that it's divided. First part is worship, and the second part would be faith. And there are three things in worship: the giving of alms, praying, and fasting. And he speaks of these three elements in the first part. And it's rather strange that he speaks of the giving of alms as worship. The reason I say this is worship is because a slight variation in the old text, that the best and oldest manuscripts read this way: "Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them." Now, along with this change to the older text is a literary principle which is in Hebrew, and that is that they initiate any argument with a brief summary. And if the word righteousness is what Jesus said, then actually we have a summary of this whole section having to do with worship. But like so many variations in text in the Bible, it really doesn't make too much difference. One of the magnificent things about the Bible, that as a human document, it, as far as comparison with human documents, the Bible is in a class by itself when it comes to the faithfulness of the transmission. For instance, Homer and the Odyssey and the Iliad. Scholars have far more difficulty from the copies that were made of Homer in saying just what was involved in Homer, or Cicero's orations, De Arme Citia, De Virtute, De Senectude, concerning friendship, concerning old age, you see, concerning virtue. The Bible is in a class by itself, and there isn't a single major doctrine that's involved. And it's amazing how God has preserved or caused the Bible to be preserved, so that when your boys and girls go off to college and hear that there are certain variations in the text, don't let them be disturbed, and don't you be disturbed. And may I repeat again, I'm not the greatest scholar in the world, but I have access to the greatest scholarship. And if you have any trouble along this line, just come to my office and I'll show you from my books what the evidence is. And I say this because such magazines as the Reader's Digest and Look and Life and Time are always talking about the results of modern scholarship. Well, I can handle them all, unembarrassed and unapologetic. I was trained that way. Now, so when Jesus said, "Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men," if you want to say that the text should read, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men," it really doesn't make too much difference. Why do I spend the time this way then? Really, to take this opportunity to speak a little bit on what's called textual criticism, to assure you that whether you read these articles concerning the Dead Sea Scrolls or the translations that have been made, that you have in your homes the best translation that's ever been made. It's not from the best text, because there's been all sorts of improvements since 1611, the last 350 years. But I still prefer the edition of 1611 called the King James Version. to any of the translations that have been made since that time. One reason is that these recent advances in scholarship I can handle for myself, and I'm not too impressed. The other reason, of course, is this, that the King James Version can be trusted, for I'm not too sure about the others. Well, let's get back to our text. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Let's take the negative first, because there's something that Christians fail to appreciate day by day. Jesus says, if you do something, you're going to forfeit your reward of your Father in heaven. Seems to take for granted, doesn't it? And when we examine the Bible, we see what he's talking about, that God has laid on us the principles of reward and punishment. Now, the world tries to get away from this. They start at the most unpleasant place, and that is punishment. There's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as eternal punishment. You know, a God of love wouldn't have such a thing as hell. And so Christians begin to listen to them, and first thing you know, they have given up the whole idea of punishment, that God will judge the world in righteousness, that God will judge his people, and that when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'll give an account for every thought, every word, and everything that I've done. We're going to get more of this when we come to the end of this 7th chapter, when Jesus really lays it on our hearts. But here, let's take the positive of that. God is going to reward every righteous thing, whether it's a thought or whether it's a word or whether it's a deed. If God isn't going to reward it, then this statement doesn't make any sense, does it? Jesus is saying, if you do things so that men will praise you, you forfeit the reward of your Father in heaven. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. Which obviously means that there is a reward available for God's people. And that's what we're taught everywhere. You remember when we had the Beatitude? Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. When we turn to the apostles' words, you remember when he was facing his execution. Whether Caesar had passed sentence or not, Paul knew that the time of his death was near. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. But he said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whom the Lord, the righteous judge, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Jesus said this in so many words when he said concerning, you know, when he sent his disciples out. And they were to not to take any money, not even to take two sandals. they were to go live on the beneficence of those who entertained them, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. The apostle said to the Corinthians, he said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it anything that we should reap your material things? You see? And then, very bluntly, Jesus said, a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple shall in no wise lose its reward. Now, before we study this sixth chapter any further, because there's some dreadful things in this sixth chapter, let's get it down deep in our thinking that God doesn't ask us to work for nothing. He doesn't pay us in the coin of the realm, granted, because men, equally godly men, will labor and one will make a fortune and the other will go into bankruptcy. So godliness and the coin of the realm have no correlation. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't bless. I was in a store last night. Please don't get tired of my saying this. And the manager was going to find something for me, and he's carrying a baby boy, and I said, how much you take for the baby? He said, this is the only thing in the store, it's not for sale. Just like that. I'm the richest man I know. You know that? The coin of my riches isn't the coin of the realm. My riches consist in things that money can't buy. A clear conscience. A certain destiny. The smile of my Savior. Friends and loved ones. Experiences of God's handiwork in my life. I'm the richest man I know. My Father is rich in houses and lands. I was going to say this in my sermon tonight. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has treasures untold. I'm the child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm the child of the King. And my Father has promised that everything that's done to honor Jesus will receive a reward. We had a bit of an argument of this concerning rewards in Bible school, and one year we had goldfish, and little boy found out his goldfish had died. That was some reward. But my Father is the one who creates life. And I'm not going to get any dead goldfish as my reward. And knowing my Savior and what he has said, that reward is going to be far greater than anything I deserve. You remember the parable of the pounds taught by Luke and the parable of the talents taught by Matthew? You remember the man who had 10 talents? Earned 10 more. And when his Lord came and the servant said, Lord, here are your 10 talents and here's what I've earned. And the Lord said unto him, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. People seem to think our Savior is niggardly. It may be because you think he's like we are, stingy. I don't know. But he isn't. Let me read something to you. Go home and read it for yourself. It's a wonderful passage here. Charge them, it's the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, some people think that the rich were given the rich, they're given their rich things to act as King Midas and not enjoy them. To those of you who are rich in this world's goods, I say enjoy them to the hilt. God is the source of riches, and if God has given you money, enjoy it. And here's the way to enjoy it, that's real joy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now listen. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Think of it. There is a correlation between the way I use my money and the reward that I'll get from my Savior. Or is it my voice? The one thing I was afraid of in combat, well, I was afraid all the time, but they would use gas and it would poison my throat, and I couldn't speak the glories of Jesus anymore. I didn't think about how eloquently I could speak or how learned or anything else. I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. And if my throat were eaten out with mustard gas, I wouldn't have been able to tell them. What is my talent? What is the talent of the believer? What's your talent? Do you want to earn a reward from your Savior? You can't earn eternal life for the forgiveness of your sins. You won't misunderstand me. But Jesus doesn't expect a man to serve him without pay. I know the church expects the preacher. Well, I shouldn't say that. You don't expect me at all. This church is not guilty of this, but I've been in churches where the church expected the preacher to serve without pay. Well, there's not very much pay anyway. But Jesus doesn't treat his servants that way. When the Lord gave this man the ruler, he gave him the 10 pounds first. He gave him the 10 pounds that he's earned. He made him ruler over 10 cities, 10 towns. The man who had the 1 pound and earned 10 pounds more was made ruler over 10 cities. The reward of our Heavenly Father. Now look, will you change that reward for the measly, crummy reward of men's pay, praise? You can't have both. If you're going to do something so that men will praise you, you forfeit the reward of Jesus. We're going to get into that a little bit more next Sunday or the Sunday after with the whole question of alms. What I'm trying to say is this, that Jesus is telling us, first of all, that there is a reward for everyone who does something for him. He doesn't expect us to serve him without pay. Now, of course, that reward doesn't come entirely in this life. You remember the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because Jesus said, give his fortune away and come follow him. And he couldn't bring himself to do it. And then Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven? And Peter said, well, Lord, what about us? We've given up everything. And Jesus said this, there's no man who has forsaken his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his lands, his life, but shall not receive more in this present time. I don't believe Jesus meant more wives or more lives. What he's talking about is the reward of our service to him and our willingness to demonstrate our allegiance to him. They shall not receive more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Maybe you can't see the reward that Jesus has given. Maybe you can't see the reward that Jesus has given to me. I can tell you about it. But listen, in the glory land, we'll see it. And though Jesus requires his servants to go through a bad time in this world, yet in the glory of our Father's house, he'll give us a full reward in everything that we're entitled to. And that's why I love to contemplate heaven. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Dangers and sorrows stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. Therefore I murmur not. Heaven is my home. Whate'er my earthly lot, heaven is my home. There are the good and blessed, those I love most and best. There too I soon shall rest. Heaven is my home. Then let the tempest rage. Heaven is my home. Brief is my pilgrimage. Heaven is my home, and time's wild wintry blast soon shall be overpast. I shall be home at last. Heaven is my home. Take heed that ye do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Let's stand as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice that Jesus tells us of a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Infinite day excludes the night and pleasures banish pain. And set our eyes, we pray thee, upon the wonder of our Father's house, and then grant that in this pilgrimage we may diligently seek the honor of Jesus, to do those things, thinking, speaking, and performing that shall bring honor to Christ. And we ask it in his precious name, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all forevermore.